Thank you, Pastor. 25 years ago, I first came to this church. And 25 years ago, I was laying down there somewhere. 25 years ago, I met Pastor Barbara. And 25 years ago, Pastor Barbara prophesied over me. Now, I never had anybody do that in my life. Never. I can't say verbatim what she said, but I can tell you it worked. It was true. You can look back in hindsight and watch what God has done. All of you have stories that you can stand up here and tell. Look what God has done. I was talking to Alan. He stopped over at my house yesterday. He's been seeking God with all his heart. And, you know, we're down here on planet Earth. It's not fast food restaurants all over the place, okay? It's wait. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know all those verses, right? Well, anyhow, 25 years later, I'm right here again. I've been here before. Some of you have not heard what I had to say. I will tell you, my life's verse, you all have life verses that you go by that, you know, you just pick it out of the Bible and say, I can identify with that. Well, my life verse, there's a bunch of them. I mean, we all know verses, is Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, and the reason I know this one is it bothered me. See, I'm 100% Jewish. And I found out, especially what you're going to see today, boy, did I find some things out. Those books that you read, okay, those Bibles, you better take a look at where they came from because the words are changed. I'll give you one. This blew me away a few weeks ago. You all know the 23rd Psalm, the last verse, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Doesn't say that. I thought it did. I used to tell everybody, well, there's an example in the Old Testament talking about eternity. I will dwell in the house of the Lord the rest of my life. And just that changed a whole bunch of stuff. How do I know this? I'm a researcher. I have been sitting down now for 3 weeks, nonstop, researching. When I saw Alan call yesterday, I wouldn't pick up the phone for anybody, but I picked it up for Alan because I needed to talk to him. He's the only one. My wife went, she left me yesterday. I'm in the house researching. See, it tells you in the Bible that you need two or more witnesses. I go by three or four. See my wife right there? After my first wife died, we had a memorial service at my house. Some of you were there. After that, the next day, this was, my wife died the 16th of November 2009. That's my first wife, Cindy. Some of you remember her. So we had a memorial service at my house on Memorial Day in 2010. We had lots of people there. And the next day, I took my ring off and I asked my next door neighbor who I never knew before, okay, would she go out on a date with me? So we went out to see a show and then we went out to eat, came back. The next day, four people called me. One right there, one back there. My wife's brother and my fishing buddy, all in one day, saying, Neil, you're not to have a relationship with anybody at this time. See, God wanted me with him. He wanted me to go through the things, and I read every night. I opened the Bible, and I read every night from Acts to Hebrews. I thought I was going to be the Apostle Paul. Chris remembers. Chris took a picture of me. I walked with a cross. Somebody, Alan made me a cross with a wheel on it, and I walked from this church to 13, I walked the same day through the town. I walked all the way, all over this. I thought that's what I was going to do. I was lost. Lost. But now I trusted God with all my heart. And I didn't lean upon my own understanding. I did. Okay, I did. See, all of you going through stuff and you don't see the answers, just do it. I'm standing here today. I'm going to make it real short. I'm standing here today. I called Pastor Barbara up. And asked her, it was a few weeks ago, if I could prepare something and do it here in front of all of you. Okay, this is the only church I know of on planet Earth that would really kind of understand what I'm showing here today. Okay? This is a functional church, guys. I'm watching all of you. This is a functional church. It's just not Pastor Barbara. It's all of you. This is how church should be. Now, church is when two or more gather in my name. That's church. This is holy ground. The song that you just sang, this is holy ground. All those churches meeting today, most of them are not holy ground. You know that. So anyhow, we're going to start with prayer. Father, I praise and I thank you that you have directed our steps here today. Father, that verse I looked at when it said in the New King James Version or the King James Version, the steps of a good man are ordered by you, and I had problems with that, and then I looked for the Hebrew, and it says the steps of a righteous person, righteous by the blood of Christ. We are only righteous by the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross and covered us because we're unholy, and we're sinners, and the blood of Christ makes us righteous, and that's it. So you have directed our steps here today. You have directed my steps and all of our steps to this church. Father, the message today is yours. Yours. For us, including myself. From the beginning of time, it says that you delight in our steps coming here. You directed us to hear this today, including myself. I've never heard this before. This is my first time. You know that, Lord. Father, 3 weeks ago when I sat down and I prayed and I fasted for a week and asked you for divine revelation, something new. This is it. We're going to get to see it for the first time. It's you that's doing it. It's your Holy Spirit that's guiding my words and everything. Thank you, Father, that when we leave here today, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is not our home. Father, that we are here as a family, just not in this church, but forever, forever and forever. And that's the message that we want to live our lives, knowing in peace that we live in your heavenly kingdom. So I thank you, Father, for that honor to stand here today and present the supernatural realm to everybody here. Amen. Now, I'm going to start. I have some bad news. Girls, I have some bad news. I got some bad news. Rachel. Really bad news. School starts soon. I start back. I go to kids. I see kids everywhere. They know I've been teaching a long time, and wherever I go, they come up. You still teaching? And then Marianne's with me. I say, all right, tell me how many years I've been teaching at Annapolis, and I will give you $10. And that opens their eyes. So anyhow, this starts my 44th year at Annapolis High. I'm doing 2 more years. Now, that's my plan. You all have plans. That's my plan, okay? That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but God has other plans, as we know. Also, I have to tell all of you, right here is a box. I'm giving this to this church. This is the old mock-ups of the shirt. This is a new one, okay? The new one is a little bit different. Here's what we have right here. You can have, if this church wanted to go ahead, or any church or any organization, and put their name here, it's free. That's the difference. The back is still the same. It's Psalm 91. In my pocket, and I brought a bunch of bookmarks with Psalm 91 on it. See, it tells you when my word goes out, it shall not return unto him void. Okay? There it is. You can read it from 15 feet away, and it glows at night. Okay? You don't have to say a word. Just walk everywhere. So they're yours. It's my gift. They're all different sizes in there. Okay? I love this church. I love you, Barbara. Living in the reality of the supernatural realm. See, ever since you were born, there's a baby back there. You open your eyeballs, look around, and you get used to this realm. Yesterday, Marianne and I were on our deck right after you left, Alan, and there were two of my girls come up on the deck for the first time, and I'm watching them, and they're looking around, and they're processing all this stuff. Those are my chickens. First time up on my deck. I have 4 Rhode Island Reds. They're 1 year old, and that's the first time, and I'm watching them, and sometimes I take them on walks around the yard, and they've never seen the yard, and they're looking at everything. See, this is the natural realm. This is what we live in. Okay, we come here, we read a book called the Bible, and it's talking about all these things that we never have seen before, right? And then, you know, you hear the words like faith and trust and all this kind of stuff. Well, today, we're going to get to see inside the supernatural realm. How does that sound to all of you? Okay, so here we go. See if this is going to work. Now, I've got an old clicker here, and I'm going to not try it. I'm just going to make this work. How many have seen this movie, this clip? How many of you have seen this clip? Isn't that the cutest little thing? See, I love animation, okay? And I said, how do they do that? Now, for those of you who haven't, I highly recommend, if you haven't seen it already, Finding Dory. Oh, my gosh. I'm a school teacher. I have students in my classroom that are just like all of you, that are all different. And in the movie, they had to find Dory's parents. Dory lost them, okay? You know the story with Nemo. And it took all these creatures in the sea that had all of these disabilities working together as one to find them. And they did. It's such a cool movie. But this is the trailer. This is only like a few minutes long. I'm only going to play a piece of this. Take a look at this. Now, here's what happened. Okay, so that's, what kind of bird is that, kids? What kind of bird? You live by the beach. Have you ever seen those before? They're sandpipers. Okay, sandpipers, they run along the beach, right? They eat the food in the beach. Well, what happened was this. It's a brand new baby sandpiper. And it hatched. And it looked out and saw all these adults out there getting food. It was hungry. So it went out there and tried to get food, just like the adults. It didn't learn anything yet. All of a sudden, you all go down the beach. Okay, you know what happens when you're on the shoreline and you're by the water's edge? What happens? Okay, this is what happens. Watch. So, uh-oh, they start to run. And why? Uh-oh, that's called a wave. That little baby never saw a wave before. Remember, it's a brand new baby, like those chickens on my deck, right? This is reality. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you this little story on this one. I'm not going to tell you Dory. That little baby got covered by the wave, scared the heck out of it. It ran back into the grasses and stayed there for days. The next time it got brave enough, it went back out. It's watching like this. And again, it found some food, and then another wave came. And this time, it went underwater. And when it went underwater, out of fear, it opened its eyes, not knowing anything. It's a baby, right? Babies don't know. And saw a scene that its parents never saw. It saw the clams. See, the clams are under the sand, but when the water covers it, you can see everything. It saw everything. There's the little baby. This is what it saw. It saw a brand new world that the parents have never seen. This is the reality. This is real reality, isn't it? This is right there, okay? This is what it saw. All these cool things. The other day, my wife and I took my grandkids to the aquarium in Baltimore. That is so cool. Because you get to go, they take you to the coral reef. You get to see all these beautiful things that you can only see if you go down there, right? And you go scuba diving. Well, you're right there. Take a look at the beauty. This is a realm that those birds have never seen before, but that baby did. And guess what happened? All of its fear was gone. See, today, guys, there are three realms that we live in. And see, we all have the same problems, okay? We live in the realm. My wife got sick this past week. Have no idea. We're trying to think, how'd that happen? It's summertime. We live in this realm right now, okay? Things happen to us. Okay, that's the realm we're used to. Guess what? I'm a teacher. The first two realms I teach, okay, that's what they pay me to do. I've taught all sciences all these years, but my favorite is studying about the next two realms. You ready? The natural realm. Isn't that pretty? We were out in Colorado a few weeks ago, and I wanted to see that. Okay, that's what the sky looks like without pollution. Okay, that's the Milky Way. That's an actual picture. You know, it used to be the bay used to be clear and everything like that. We don't even know what that looks like anymore. It used to be like the aquarium. When you go to the aquarium, you look down, all the animals are there. That's what the sky used to look like. Not anymore. Why? Well, we did a good job on the water and the sky. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And God called the expanse heaven. Okay, Genesis 1:8. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, the problem is this. We look at all that stuff today. We've seen it so many times. We've got the Hubble Space Telescope. I teach astronomy. And we look at that, and it's like commonplace. Isn't that sad? These are the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19:1. That's what it says. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear. And God said, let the waters swarm with living things. You like my animations? These are my favorite. I love dinosaurs. Let the earth bring forth creatures according to their kind. Livestock and creeping things and the beast of the field. You like that, Rach? Isn't that cool? According to each of their kind. Now, I'm a visual person. I made that. My kids at school, you look at that stuff, okay? I love making things move. I love animation and so on. I have to see it. In order for me to do this, I got to see it. All of you, can you see this? Isn't that pretty? And then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Cool. Sorry. This is Linda K. Barnett, Prophecy in the News. Neil, how'd you like to come down and do two shows for us next month? I said, what? She said, yeah, if you can come down the first week of September, September 5th and 6th, we're going to do two shows and show them at the end of the month on your book. I said, what? That's God. That was God. Last year when I went with my other book, Newton's Riddle, she did the same thing. When we went out to eat, this is Prophecy in the News. This is worldwide. This isn't a blog. This is on TNN and all those things. Not TNN, TBN. And last year, she said, I wanted to ask her. I said, how come you put me on the show? She said, the Holy Spirit told me to put you on the show. That's God. That's God. And so, you know, here it is. I asked the Lord 3 weeks ago. I fasted for a week. I prayed a hedge of protection because this church knows, most of them are stupid out there, that Satan's alive and well on this planet. And I remember, I learned a lesson, you're going to hear in a minute, okay, what happened to me. But again, I sat there, and I needed to see this, because they want two shows. They're going to do two tapings, and it's going to be aired a month before the elections. Okay, the show is on this book, which is the prequel to Newton's Riddle, and this book right here, again, I wrote it back in 2010. I didn't think this would ever go on television. That's God. See how God works? It's all God. So here we go. That's what's in this book. See, you ever hear Frank Peretti? I want to show that in a minute. I didn't.
This woman right here is my spiritual mama. Her name is Bootsy. Bootsy is the one who led me to the Lord. This is many, many years ago. And Bootsy gave me this book, okay, called This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. You ever hear that? And I opened it up. I couldn't read it. It was so foreign to my mind because I live in this natural world. And I got through the first chapter and all of a sudden it clicked and I couldn't put the book down. And I read the whole thing. Then I found out Frank Peretti wrote another book called Piercing Darkness. It's all based on Ephesians 6, 11, and 12. I didn't know, you know, you all watch Harry Potter and all those things. I didn't know this stuff was real. I didn't even know it was in the Bible, okay? Bootsy passed away a few months ago. Then, also, Bootsy gave me a video by this guy right here. See, I'm a scientist. My religion is science. I test everything. I research, okay? I don't believe anybody unless I know them, okay? And that's the truth. I know you. I trust you. Past history. I know you. I trust you. I know you. I trust you. I know those people. I don't know all of you, but I have to know people. I trust my mama, too. So I told God, after Bootsy gave me the books and everything, and as I said, I'm going to take that leap of faith. I'm a scientist. The leap of faith is Genesis 1, okay? How did God do what you just saw? So I said, you're going to have to show me how you did it. Well, anyhow, guys, Bootsy gave me the tape. This guy right here, Dr. Gerald Schroeder, he lives in Israel, in Jerusalem. Using all Einstein, he's an MIT physics professor. All Einstein. He proved how God created the universe, all that stuff you just saw, in 6 24-hour days, and also 14, 15 billion years. It works perfectly. The website is called GenesisBigBang.com. I made it for him. It's one of my number one websites. Go to it, GenesisBigBang.com. See, you don't know. I didn't know. Now I do. See, these mysteries that you see, Genesis and all that, the dinosaurs and stuff, this guy builds an ark. It's gigantic. It's gorgeous. But he can't explain how it happened. And Bill Nye, the science guy, who I love, I would love to sit down with Bill Nye and explain the truth to him because he'd finally understand. Okay? So anyhow, I'm just showing you the natural world. This is the website, GenesisBigBang.com. Understand how God created the universe and the earth in 15 billion years and 6 24-hour days. It works with science perfectly. Romans 1, 18 through 23. God's anger from heaven is against all the godlessness and the wickedness of people who in their wickedness kept suppressing the truth because what is known about God is plain to them since God has made it plain to them. Ever since the creation of the universe, his invisible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen because they can be understood from what he made. Therefore, they have no excuse because although they know who God is, they do not glorify him as God or thank him. On the contrary, they've become futile in their thinking and their disconcerting hearts have become darkened. Claiming to be wise, they've become fools. In fact, they have exchanged the glory of the immortal God for mere images, like a mortal man, mortal human being, like birds, like animals, reptiles. That's for today too. That wasn't for 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote that. That's today too. It's worse today. It's worse today. I teach in a public school. I was taken out of school, removed from school for... Okay, by the way, all that's on the truth factor. See, guys, you take the gifts God's given you and you use them. If you sit down and just watch television every day, like that little video I have of the hamster on the wheel, get up in the morning, brush your teeth, okay, go to work, come home, eat your dinner, sit down, watch a football game or the Olympics, go to bed, get up in the morning, go brush your teeth. That's what the devil wants you to do. You're only here for a brief time. BeMadeWhole.net. I came up with this idea. Some of you here were sitting in my house trying to think how to do this. It's done. It's been done for 3 years. Seen by hundreds of thousands of people. The last factor is the truth factor. It's all on there. all the truth right there. It's all there, guys. I want you to, I just updated it. Take a look. DNA proves a creator. You all may have DNA. So all the plants out there. Okay? All of them. That's a program. We got these plants in our yard called coleus. I've never seen gorgeous plants like that. It looked like they came from heaven. Right, Marianne? I mean, just think. Just look. Just, that's what it says. Just open your eyes and take a look. It's impossible for that stuff to happen. Impossible for the programs of everything out there. We went to the aquarium. I got to check on this. I didn't check, but the woman that was there said the smartest animal in the ocean is not a dolphin. We saw the dolphin there. It's an octopus, okay? An octopus. It's a mollusk, okay? There's a jar in there. They showed it. It unscrewed the lid. How did it do that? How did it unscrew the lid? Who taught that octopus, all right? Noah's flood, okay? Noah's flood. That's one of those ones they say, oh, that couldn't have happened. There's no worldwide flood. Well, guys, it's proven. It's on the website. The video's there. There's three scientists up there, okay? Robert Ballard went down there, okay, and showed in the Black Sea, which is anaerobic. There's nothing living down there anymore. All these cities and towns that were flooded. Those two guys proved how it happened. Okay, it happened about 6,000 years ago, all into the geologic time scale. Evidence of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, at the bottom of the Dead Sea, or if you go down there, we were there, they found pure sulfur. They also found an earthquake that took place exactly when that was supposed to take place. Exactly. Exactly where that city was. Okay, all sulfur. Science. Millennials today, 18 to 30-year-olds, are leaving church in record numbers. Now, the neat thing is I'm looking around at kids. I see teenagers. Do you know most churches, you don't see them anymore? Most of your friends don't go to church, I don't think. Okay? Most of your church friends would love what I'm saying today. They don't go. Why don't they go? Why? They're totally bored. It's boring. It's dead. It's boring. It's dead. Bored of hearing the same old, dusty old stories over and over again that have no relevance for their lives today. I'm not saying these are bad stories for little kids, because that's how kids like cartoons. I'm telling you, I teach teenagers, and they're not hearing the truth, and they're not going to church. Why? Boring. Dead. Boring. They're totally turned off by old religious doctrines and the traditions of the past. You go to churches around here. There's a big one down the road, okay? Yeah, I mean, thank God there's still some families. Thank God there's still churches here, and there's good ones here because I've been to other churches around here. But most of them aren't. Most of them are not, as you know. What mankind is crying out is to stop suppressing the truth. We need a fresh revelation of God's eternal plan for their lives today. When you wake up in the morning and you go through the day, you have to know that God's in control. That God's word, the Bible, from cover to cover, is it. That's it. People want to fully understand the relevancy of God's word, again, from cover to cover. God has planted eternity in the hearts of all men. So, even so, many cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Now, that's in Ecclesiastes. That's in the Bible. I didn't make that word up. That's in the Bible. Read it. This is from God says this. God's plan is, all of you have it. All the people out there have it. Once they know the truth, they gobble it up. I'll give you a for instance real fast. One of my students who graduated a few years ago, I just met with him before school was out. I gave him $6,000. Marianne was there. God put on my heart to give the tithe to this student of mine so they can keep him in the country. They're going to deport him. He started a job. He was a boss, making big money. He saw the power of God. He's quitting his job. He's going down to Fredericksburg, Virginia with a bunch of children from all around the world, and they're training them in prayer rooms. You may have heard of that. See, God's raising up a generation right now because things are going to happen. And these are children. The good thing is, these children like myself were never brought up with religion. So they're religious free. The reason I am who I am is I was never brought up with religion. That is too cool. Some of you can't say that. When I tell people I hate religion, I say, wait a minute, you're the most religious person I know. They don't understand. Now we're going to go, this is the meat of it. So, guys, I quickly went over all that stuff with you. Go to my website, bemadewhole.net. Now, how do you remember that? Okay, when Jesus prayed over people, bemadewhole.net. Some of you have gone there. I send it out to the mailing list here. Go to the Truth Factor. You will understand. That's your homework, okay? All of you. Mm-hmm. Now, when I come back, I'm going to test you. Now, it tells you in the Bible that there are three heavens, okay? Paul was caught up to the third heaven. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astonishing that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human being is allowed to tell. Paul's telling you this. The third heaven. Okay, so what are the first two heavens? Well, the first two heavens are this. Down here where we are right now, you're all breathing oxygen, right? Here's what you have to do each day. You got to breathe oxygen about 21 times a minute. Try not doing that. You'll understand. Okay. When I spray my hair with hairspray and I'm holding my breath, I'm ready to pass out after about 20 seconds. You need oxygen. 3 minutes without it, watch out. You need water, right? Those of you have water bottles right there, 7 or 10 days without it, you're gone. And then you need food. So we live in an area from here all the way up to the top of the troposphere that God's taking care of us. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is when you look up and you see all those things out there. Okay, from here to the end, about 15 billion light years away. All right, we could see almost that far. I teach this stuff. It's really cool. Kids love astronomy. It's out of this world. The part that we don't understand, and nobody here, and this is the research that I did that's coming up, is that third heaven that Paul is talking about. I know a few people, maybe here, that have gone to the third heaven. I have two friends who actually died. They've been on television. They died. One guy was under a truck. He was working on it, and the truck, the jacks came loose, and the weight of that truck cut him in two. Okay, he died. He's been on television. Another one, he's down in Louisiana, okay? He was a policeman. He died. He didn't go to heaven or hell. He went to Satan's planning room. It's on my website. It's on the Truth Factor. Go watch that. Howard Pittman. Again, let's go back. This is the book, Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness. If you have not read it, it's because it's old now. Frank Peretti wrote this back in the 80s. The first time people's eyes were open to the reality of the supernatural. Now, this is the story. It's coming up real quick. Back in 2005, I'm watching all these students and teachers reading that book. I was a Christian, and I knew that was a bunch of lies because they were believing it. They were believing this as truth, that Jesus had an affair, okay? And Jesus' affair was with a woman. It's the Da Vinci Code. And if you look at Da Vinci's picture, okay, of the Last Supper, you'll see what it looks like to be a woman on the side of Jesus. And everybody says, man, well, that's his interpretation. Okay? If that was a woman, it was Mary Magdalene, that's fine. But again, this is a lie from hell. And people are believing this. And so I got on the tizzy. I said, you know what? We got to get that book Frank Peretti wrote, which told the truth about the supernatural, and make it a movie. So I tried to get Mel Gibson, who just produced a movie called The Passion of the Christ, made a bunch of money. I tried to contact him and say, hey, you got to take this book right there, This Present Darkness, making a movie. Well, I never got to Mel Gibson. Okay, long story short, God put on my heart, you write the book. I never wrote a book before. Let me see what's next. Oops. No, let me go back one. There it is. It was December of 2005. I had a student in my class with my aide. I handed him a manila folder. I said, all right, Brian, I want you to find out everything about Sir Isaac Newton, but I don't want to know the science. I had no idea. God put in my heart to do an investigation on Sir Isaac Newton. Okay, I teach all about him. He's the guy who came up with the idea of gravity. Brian handed me a folder. I took it back to Pennsylvania, and I read it, and it blew me away. There were things in there that y'all don't know. Now, I didn't know. So on January 1st, 2005, I started writing this book. And I finished it. And that's when my life changed. That book right there, and there's, I saw one out there, and I've been here with that book before. It was number one bestseller. How'd that happen? It was God. It's all God. Nothing I do. It was God. A month after that book came out, my wife Cindy and I were on television. Some of you have seen it. It's on there, okay? Worldwide. Everybody heard our story. The most supernatural story I ever heard, because I lived the thing. That I didn't believe my wife when she was telling me there were demons in my house, because I wrote in Peretti style. I showed exactly what's going on behind the scenes that you can't see and I can't see. And so somebody out there wanted it stopped. We had demons in my house. I didn't believe it. That's when Sid Roth, Cindy's telling the story. I saw a demon. I saw one. A Jew needs a sign. I can't say anybody, I don't know most of you in here, if you've ever actually seen one of these things. But I tell you the truth, and I don't lie, and I tell the kids, except at nighttime, I saw one. That's all I needed. And I know they're real. And so, you know, when you had that passion inside of you, okay, and after all that stuff that I went through, okay, that gave me a passion. I haven't stopped yet. This is when I got put out of school. My stupidity. Why? Because I wrote a book. I want everybody to know I'm an author. So I called the local paper that's in my classroom, and they took a picture of me holding my book up. And I said I didn't write it because I gave credit to the Holy Spirit. I was put out of school for a month and 8 days. Did you see the movie God's Not Dead 2? I lived that. I lived it. And I found out I have an enemy. And I got to watch my mouth because I go back to school on Tuesday. Okay? I plan on working there. I know who my enemy is. And I know exactly what he's looking for this time. Okay? I was out of school. You know what they did? They went to my students. Barbara, does Mr. Russell ever mention Jesus to you in the classroom? Marianne, does Mr. Russell ever talk about the Bible in the classroom? That's what they asked my kids. I wrote the curriculum I teach. There it is, right there. I got to night school. My daughter says, Daddy, somebody wrote something really nasty about you on the internet. I tell my kids at school, watch what you do with a cell phone. Because everything is on there. And everything, you go for an interview. You go for an interview with me. After you go, I'm going to go check your Facebook and everything. I'm going to make sure that that person that I just interviewed is really cool. There it is. It's still there. There it is. Look. On March 17th, this is 2007. This is called Capital Punishment. The name of the paper is called Capital. Brought to your attention the activities of a messianic fundamentalist Bible-thumping teacher of astronomy and earth science in Annapolis High named Neil Russell, who just published a Bible political religious thriller called Newton's Riddle. Are we teaching and selling creation? I don't do that. But see what the devil will do? So I learned my lesson. I called my wife. I was crossing the Bay Bridge. I was so mad. She said, Neil, pride. That pride. And it hit me. Oh, my gosh. Now, this is the second book, okay, and this has a clip, so let me play it.
So this book today, it's called Wiles of the Devil 2016. Maybe to start off, you could just introduce it for everybody and tell us what this book's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, there's a verse in the Bible. I'm sure all of you have heard it, but let me read it to you. It's Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means deceit. Now, I want you all to hear this because this is important. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, with that said, Clark, when you stand at a window and you look outside, okay, just picture everybody right now, if you're driving in your car, and you're looking through a window, you're inside. And the window is a partition. It keeps you from getting out to that area. Well, every day when we wake up, there is a window that nobody recognizes. And it's in the Bible. And Jesus spoke about it more than any other topic, Clark, and that is the supernatural. And see, that's the thing. We look at the Bible today. We read stories that go back 2,000 years ago. And we just don't get it because we live in a natural realm. And see, what my book does is it opens up the eyes of everybody that reads it to what is exactly happening in the supernatural realm.
So, again, I use visuals. And again, the little girl's looking out the window, and she sees what's going on. We drove all the way from Maryland. We're looking through a window to come here. And it's a different realm out there than inside your car, right? Well, it's the same thing that you wrap around your head. When you read this book, or Frank Peretti's book, it shows you what's happening. How did America get this bad? Everybody's scratching their heads. Everybody. On both sides of the political aisle. How did it happen? How did that? It explains it in here. Okay, I'm not selling this book here. I'm telling you that this is what I'll be doing on television. People are fascinated with the supernatural realm. Look at all the movies that play. Go out and check out the movies right now. Okay, most of them are on the supernatural. How come? There's something about good and evil on a cosmic scale that thrills us. My favorite movies are on this realm, right? It thrills us. It would thrill people if they really knew that this stuff is real. If they really understood it. Which, you're blessed having her. You're blessed having him. Because most preachers never preach the truth. They cherry pick the Bible and they go right over it. They go right over it. The organizational makeup of the supernatural realm. The name and titles of the boss. Isn't that cute? Here we go. Now, I'm not going to pronounce that word to you because I can't. Okay? That's the Lord. It's in Hebrew. It is the word most often used for God in the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, okay? The Hebrew Bible. It is used, that word is used 6,519 times. I checked that number so many times. That's true. Exodus 3:14. This is what God tells Moses. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you, sent me to you. This is what God said. He said, who should I say is sending me? Remember, they don't know anything. They just remember old stories that go back a long time ago. He has to go back and tell us, who's sending you, Moses? He's been gone for a long time. I am. That is too sacred to be spoken by Jews. It's too sacred. Now, let me tell you what they say. Here it is. Okay, Hashem is how they say it. Hashem, the name. A devout Jew will use the word Hashem. Okay, or Hashem Adonai. The word Adonai is Lord. That's what Adonai means. Okay? I'm giving you a little science and a little history. Now, what they did is they took the vowels from those two words, and they made this word, which I can't pronounce, Yahweh. 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 That's where it came from. I just gave you a little history on that word, okay? Yahweh. It's used throughout the Bible. El. All-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God. The Hebrew name of God. It's used 238 times in the Old Testament in Hebrew. Watch this. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. El HaKadosh, Kadosh, Marian? Kadosha, thank you. That's one of my, all of us, God matched me up with somebody who can pronounce. Kadosh, HaKadosh, means the Holy God. Kadosh is the Holy Spirit. Kadosh. El Olam, the everlasting God. El is often combined with proper names. You've all seen these. Israel, the triumph of God. Michael, who is like God. Gabriel, God is my strength. Daniel, God is my judge. And it's cool. Now here's another name. Elohim is the plural of El. And is the first name of God given in the Old Testament. In the beginning, God, Elohim, this is Elohim, that's what it says, created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Elohim, the mighty creator, in the Tanakh, is mentioned 2,340 times. Now, when you open up your Bible, it doesn't say these words.
It says God. That's it. Or Lord. That's all it says. There's a reason you should know this. And the reason God's telling us is this is God and this is how He works. Elohim, God, the mighty creator. Elohim, again, God, the mighty creator. There it is in Hebrew. The role of the boss. He's the chief decision maker of His divine family. I see fathers here today. Alan's a father. You look like a father right there. I know you guy, you're a father. You got your daughters here. Okay, you got a wife here. The decision maker. The decision maker. God's our father. You ever call God father? Abba? He's the decision maker. I am not going into polytheism. A lot of people say this is, it is not. This is without the Bible. This is how it's set up. God is the creator. He made everybody up there. He is the decision maker. Then Elohim said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Then God Elohim said, let us? Huh? Who are the us? Now I was told, and some of you were too, that the us is the Trinity. Father, Son, and I went with that for a long time. And that's kind of true, but that's not it. See guys, it's like, let us do this. Let us have a picnic. That's what Barbara says. God's saying this. He has a heavenly council. He has surrounded by them. Let us. That's what He's saying. That's exactly what the Bible, I didn't make it up. That's what, I just found this out. Okay, when I prayed for divine revelation, the week I was fasting, I watched an interview on the internet for a half hour long. Joel Rosenberg, who's an author, was interviewing this guy named Dr. Michael Heiser. Alan knows him, and has anybody else heard of him? He's a Bible scholar. He had a revelation a few years back. Somebody gave him a verse. Take a look at this verse. The verse they gave him was Psalm 82. First time he really looked at it. And he dug into it. 10 years of looking at that verse, and that's what we're going to look at right now. And then we're done. Isn't that cool? All the things called Elohim in the Bible are not related to God the Creator. In fact, they're small Elohims. Okay, in the Hebrew Bible, one thing they all have in common, they all inhabit the heavenly realm. They all these. And who are they? Watch. They're the archangels. Benai Elohim, the archangels, the highest order. In the Bible, there's only two archangels mentioned. In the book of Enoch, there's seven. I put all seven up there. In the Bible, it's Michael and Gabriel. Then you have ministering angels. There are the verses. The verses are right there. The one that I go by, I like, is Psalm 91:11. It's on my shirt. God will give angels in charge of you to keep you safe in all your ways. You ever have an angelic encounter? Can you look back in your life and say, I should have been dead? I'll give you one real quick. A guy I was talking to on the phone, he's been on television a lot. His name is John Shuri. He's been on a lot of programs. He told me a story just happened. Their son moved from Arizona, where they lived, to California. The night before he left the house, they prayed Psalm 91 over him. The next day, he's in a car, and he's shaken up. He's on the freeway. Cars are flying through the air. Metal's flying everywhere. He said, Mom, Dad, not a scratch on my car. Not a scratch on my car. The room is loaded with angels. It's loaded with angels. I could tell you a story happened to me, but I'm going to go on because you can tell me stories, right? Hebrew 1:14. It says that ministering angels are given to those who are heirs unto salvation. Not everybody has one. God knows. Who is going to be an heir to salvation? You have them. You have them. You have them. God addressed the divine council of angels and said unto them, let us make man in our own image. Genesis 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over the cattle and all the earth and over the every creeping thing that creeps on earth. 27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Female and male, He created him. Okay, now you're going to get it. Here it comes. We were created to be members of God's eternal family with all the benefits of the heavenly kingdom. Did you hear that? All of us, everyone you know, all your family members, all those people that we saw parading on television last night, everyone that's ever been born on planet Earth was created for that purpose, to be in God's family, to be in God's family, to be in God's family. You have them in your family. You want them to be in God's family forever. That's the goal, right? With one major condition attached. Okay? Here's the major condition. We get the freedom to choose. We are not robots. That's the choice. God gave his angels, all the angels in heaven, free choice. He gave all of you free choice. The same choice the angels had. The only difference is angels were eternal to start with. We weren't. Well, actually we were, weren't we? Weren't we eternal at one time? Free choice, guys. You got a free choice to like me or not. To love somebody or not. Free choice. You got a free choice to go to church or not. You have all of you chose to go to church here to this free choice. Let's go, that's a very important picture back there, okay? Okay, so let's go back up. In 2 weeks from now, I'm going to have a classroom of children. Just like all of you are sitting here listening to what I'm saying, they will too, okay? This is what it looks like. That's a real picture. That's an actual real picture. I'm asking a real question, okay? Take a look. There's another classroom. There's the teacher. There's the students. Take another look. There's another classroom. Kids, isn't it scary stuff in a way? Summer's over. There's a college professor. Look at the class. What are they doing? They have R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are respecting him as you're respecting me. They are listening. They are learning. They are absorbing. There's another teacher. Some more students. Look at those smiles. I know they're taking pictures of them, but that's the way I see it. I've seen it like that. Now, I also see it like this. I've got a rule. Girls, listen to my rule. I teach for 90 minutes. That's what they're paying me good money for. During that 90 minutes, you are not to have your cell phones out. Do you understand? Thank you. I appreciate that. Good girls. I think you'll be in that first part. Do you know that battle is the hardest battle I've ever done all these years? Is making them, because they're addicted. They're addicted to their cell phones. And so here's what I do. I have a little sign up there with a little don't take out sign, okay? And I'll go to the beginning of class. All right, guys, you know the rule right up there. So if you take it out, I don't send children out. I don't. I asked you to put away your cell phone. Could you remember the rule? Okay, is that okay? Cool. Thank you. If I see her with a cell phone out, I won't see her again. I go out in the hallway. I take out my dumb phone. I don't have a smartphone. I call their parents. Now, if I can't get their parents, you're gone. As soon as I do that, everybody's quiet. They put them away. It's called R-E-S-P-E-C-T. God only gives us a few rules, but we don't respect his rules. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Look, this is what classrooms look like. I'm telling you, this is what classrooms look like. This is what classrooms look like. This is what the world looks like. It's the world. I can show you all these things, but you understand what I'm saying. You get a choice. You do it God's way or your way. Look. A major clue as to the makeup of the supernatural realm is revealed in this statement. Let us make man in our own image. We can make a free will decision to be a God imager. I went to Mount Vernon last Friday, right, Mariano? And we saw all the things that are out there, okay, all the history. I love history. I'm sure some of you do too. We were there where he lived. He was a God imager. Look at all the good things this man did. A lot of good things. Yes, there was slavery back then, okay? That was the culture where he grew up. Okay, and it was terrible, and I can't get into his mind why he did that. That bothered me. It really bothered me. But the people that lived on his plantation were the best that fed best everything around. He did more good, as I said, as we can count the presidents. I mean, because he was a Christian. He was a God imager. God's three simple rules. You ready? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of kids, I tell the girls at school, girls, I'm telling you, hey girls, those boys, they don't care about you. Those are hormones. Their name's Jimmy, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. I tell them this. I said, most of those girls out in the hall, the boys in the hallway, they got cooties. That's cooties. Okay, I don't use those words. They know what I'm talking about. I said, girls, get yourself an education. You want a boy that says, yes, dear, and means it. Can we go shopping after church today? Yes, dear. Girls love that word. Do they not, girls? Would you die, girls? That's what I tell the girls at school. Would that boy die for you when he says he loves you? No. His name's Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Okay? That's the world. My name's Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And last, this is the most important part. This is where you all drop the ball, and I dropped the ball for a long time. Okay? It says, use your life and the resources God has given you to spread his gospel to the world. That's why it's peeling apart right now. Well, that's for Pastor Barbara, you know? Pastor Barbara, you're the pastor. That's your job. You do that, we'll just hear and clap and cheer you on. No. This is what we're called to do. All of us were given gifts. All those children in my class are gifted. Everyone. The problem with public schools is once they reach eighth grade, they should be finding out let them know what they're good at. There's a video on my website. It's called The Brainy Bunch. This family, right, Marianne, has 10 children. Each child, by the time they reached 12, was in college. Well, how did that happen? Because they had parents who cared that watched them, and they said, and they tailor-made their education to their likes, or what they're good at. There it is. There's the rules. Adam and Eve, guys, all right, it's all yours. You can live forever. Just don't eat from that tree. How hard was that? You think angels don't sin? We're going to find out in a moment. Or you can choose to be an imager of yourself. I'm sorry I put him up there, and he's a him. Okay? This is the biggest problem. Okay, the devil used him to change this world. You can shake your heads on that. I'm sorry. I try not to be political or use pictures or anything of real, but that's what the devil used. And look what's happening right now in all the public schools. I have no idea what's going on in my school when I start back. There it is, guys. How are you being tempted by the devil? Because all of us are. What is it? And I talked to one of you here, is a friend of mine. Look, Chris, I'm so proud of you. I've known Chris for a long, long time. Chris knows what I'm talking about. I'm so proud. You're blessed and highly favored. I'm sorry for what happened to your family. Okay, my father passed away years ago, but you're blessed. You got that beautiful wife back there, and you're one. Look what God has done. Isn't that cool? Guys, the devil knows your weaknesses. I don't know you, but you know what they are too. And guess what? Okay? If you keep on doing what you're doing, keep on getting what you get. Remember that. Keep that with you. I keep on doing what I'm doing, keep on getting what I'm getting. Right? The consequences of poor choices. Psalm 82, here it comes. Elohim stands in the divine assembly with the other Elohim. Now again, these are the other ones. These are the angels that make up. You know how many people I had to ask to find out who were those Elohim? Marianne knows. I called all around the United States when I first got wind of this one. Okay? How long will you go on judging unfairly, favoring the wicked? He's talking to those angels up there. When will you give justice to the weak and fatherless, uphold the rights of the wretched and the poor, rescue the destitute and needy, deliver them from the powers of wickedness? He's talking to those angels up there. They, the nations, don't know. They don't understand. They wander about in darkness. Meanwhile, all the foundations of the earth are being undermined. You are Elohim, the sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, you will die like mortals. Like any prince, you will fall. Now, who are these princes? If you go to Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel cried out, Lord, I've been here now since I was a kid. That was 70 years ago. How much longer is captivity? I just read Jeremiah. He said 70 years. Tell me. God sent an archangel. He sent Gabriel, right? Gabriel came, told him the plan. Gabriel said, it took me 3 weeks because I had to battle the princes of Persia to get here. An angel battling down here. And then I have to go back and battle through Greece, the prince of Greece. That's, I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Most High assigns lands to the nations. He divides up the human race. He establishes the boundaries of the people according to the number of Elohim in his heavenly court. Do you read this? This is the other one I had to look at. Okay, I never knew this was in before. This is when it happened. Okay, I want you to get this, guys, because this is important. The Dead Sea Scrolls read the numbers of the sons of God. The Greek version, the number of angels in God's heavenly court. He divided up the nations. Did you watch the Olympics? Did you watch the parade of nations? They're all assigned to them today. They might be different nations than they were back then, but it's the same assignment. So they don't enter God's heavenly kingdom. They go where the angels are going to be sent. There's bad ones to the lake of fire with Satan. Will we be like God? This is what the world is. Okay? They built that thing right there because they wanted to be like God. If you don't believe they did that, they went to Mesopotamia. They're all over the place. Marion, what's the name of those things? Ziggurats. Ziggurats. They're ziggurats. It's any kind of tower that comes to a point, and at the top there's a temple. They're all over the place. You want to see them? I have pictures of them. It says right here, the Tower of Babel. At one time, all the people in the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylon and settled there. They began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them into fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used in mortar. And they said, come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. Think about what's being said on the news, Fox, CNN, every day. All that stuff. Do you hear in God we trust anybody? They use it so they get elected. Tower of Babel. Is there evidence? Archaeological evidence points to the Tower of Babel as being built in a fashion of a ziggurat. The physical description is as a pyramid-shaped tower that decreases in size as its stories progress toward with a temple at the pinnacle. Ziggurats commonly had steps or terraces spiral around the structure that led to the temple at the top. Picture down in, it's everywhere. Picture down in the Yucatan Peninsula. Picture those pyramids down there with the steps, right? Picture this. Picture that. Where I grew up in Pennsylvania, all the mansions are on top of the hill. You know why? They can look up to you when you have money. And status. These are the real names. I checked this out. There are 70 of them. These are the Table of Nations. Okay, this is after the Tower of Babel. This is when everybody was scattered throughout the world. These are the sons and the descendants of Noah, okay? And these are their offspring. And these are the 70 nations that were assigned those members of the Divine Council. And that's where they went. There they are. They spread out. They spread out, everybody. They spread out. Did you see them on television last night? Did you watch them two nights ago when they marched into the arena down there in Rio de Janeiro? I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the nations. I'm talking about who rules the nations today. I'm telling you that this is in the Bible. Now, last, we're almost done. I'm going to get even now. Okay, everybody watch. See that? Y'all have one? Look at all those people. They're addicted. They're addicted. Look at them all. Now, my wife is not addicted, but she's really good at it. I don't want a smartphone. Here's why. I'm on a computer all day long. Plus, where we live, we don't get good receptions. Why pay all that money? I have my dumb phone. My wife's good. Okay, Google. It's always okay, Google. How do I find this? How do I find that? I want to show you how those demons find everything about you. You ready? Now, we have satellites all up in orbit, all around the earth. I always ask the kid this question. If anybody gets this right, $10. Y'all ready? Name me the satellite. Name me the satellite that was going around the earth before 1957. Kids only. Kids only. Now those two, name me the, $10. Name me the satellite that was going around the earth before 1957. Four letter word. Come on, Rach. Okay. Anybody, adults know the name? Don't tell me anything other than the moon, because that was it. The moon. That was it. Guys, we have all these satellites and those cell phones that you talk to. Let me show you how it works, okay? Here it is. So, here's your cell phones, right? And the traveling at the speed of light, the microwaves go up, they hit those satellites, they bounce down. Okay, and they go through this processing, which goes to towers at the speed of light. Do you know when you talk on the phone and you talk to somebody on the other side of the world, your voice goes around 7 times in 1 second? 7 times in 1 second. Speed of light's as fast, you know, that's how fast it goes. Now, knowing what I just taught you, watch. Okay, so you get on your cell phone, right? Now, this is the last video. We're almost done. I want to show you how demons work.
Did you know that if you have an iPhone or an Android device, chances are every single thing you do is being tracked right now, location by location, down to the exact minute you were there. So who's getting all your information, and how do you shut this off? Pull out your phones right now and get ready. We're about to show you everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. It's scary.
When we hit the streets.
Whoa.
No one knew about it.
On the 5th, you were there from 7:18 a.m. to 9:24 a.m.
Holy cow.
Yes, even this police officer was shocked. The mother load of personal information stored right on your phone for anyone to see. Where you live, where you work. See all those little blue dots? It even maps out where you go, including the date and exact times you were there. Tech security expert Jim Stickley.
Very creepy. Very disturbing. So most of us have it. I imagine almost everybody.
On the iPhone, that personal tracker is very deep. Go to privacy, location services, system services, scroll down even more, and there it is, frequent locations. But if you think that's invasive, storing all that data in your device, Stickley says it gets even worse.
I think Android's far creepier. Android you can track online, and to me, that's far bigger risk.
That's right. He says if you have an Android phone, all your tracking data is sent straight to Google.
It knows exactly where I was. This morning knows where I was sleeping, how long I slept for, when I left, when I arrived here, and it knows right now here's where I'm sitting.
And I don't need your phone for this. I can look at this right if I have access to your account.
You could be any computer anywhere in the world and pull this up.
And it goes far back.
You can go to any day. I can go a year ago if we wanted. So here, yesterday. You can see I started out over in California, traveled across over to Texas. It sees exactly where I went, exactly when I went there.
And if I zoomed in right now, I would see exactly where in California and exactly where in Texas we are.
You'd be able to see where I had lunch in California.
Did you know this was here?
No, I did not. I'm not too pleased about that. It's kind of creepy.
Time to bring it to the people.
I'm going to show you a hidden thing on this iPhone.
Okay.
Look at this. I even know where you live.
Yes, you do.
What do you think of this?
It makes it really easy for people to stalk you.
When we showed this group of new moms in the park.
I don't need anyone to know where I was.
They were downright scared.
These are all the places you go to.
It shows a map of where I've been.
It's scary. I'm at home alone with my son all the time. I don't want anybody to know where I live.
And you just knew this would come up.
So you're saying I could take my husband's phone and look at all the places that he has been recently?
Yes.
So maybe I won't tell him how to turn it off.
Hope he's not watching right now.
That's right. right after what I just said, that he divided the nation. Now the next verse is, they all turned against him. He made his own. He made his own. And that's where the story of Abraham started. And Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Jesus, all the way through the whole Old Testament to us today. You understand? We are God imagers. That when you go out that door today, from the time you get up and go to sleep each day, are you imaging God? We live in the heavenly realm. We have angels with us. We have demons with us. They're watching every move. I didn't believe it until I saw one. I walk into Annapolis High. They're everywhere, but I don't have to worry because I have an angel with me all the time. Right, Barbara? You understand? We live in the heavenly realm. Sometimes people can see into that, but this is how it works. We are part of God's family. He wants us with him forever and forever and forever. The problem is, okay, people do not, and kids do not. They don't know the power that God has given all of you. I didn't get into the Holy Spirit today. I didn't get any of that stuff. I just showed you. Now, let me just finish up real quick. Oops. This is where we are today. The supreme leader of Iran, the Ayatollah Khomeini, he hates Israel and the Jewish people. We all know that. He says he hears directly from Allah. Did you know that? And has publicly stated that he wants to wipe out the Jews. He calls them pigs. To usher in the 12th Iman, which won't happen until Israel is destroyed. Did you know that? Do you know that right now that's what this book's about? This book is about the elections. It ends on November the 8th, which is coming up. Now, I told Alan, the hook when I'm on television is, you want to find out who's going to be elected? Read the book. Read the book. That's a hook. That's not just it. Israel has no choice. None. With either one of them, they have no choice. Because right now, that's what they signed last year is nothing. Nothing. Our president came out and made a lie, a downright lie. It's been in the news about Israel the other day. He said they now support him. Benjamin Netanyahu said, what is he talking about? You hear all the lies out there? These people aren't even good at lying. They lie. The devil has our government. He has the people. We live in these times right before Jesus is going to return. We know the truth. We are God imagers. If I don't leave you with anything, remember what a God imager is. Okay? Again, we're done. Let me just do one more thing. We have elections coming up. I can't tell you. I didn't mention anybody's name. And when I'm on television, I'm not going to mention anybody's name. I'm going to do kind of what I just did. I have two shows, so I needed to stand here. I thank you for hearing that. I'm not done yet, but I'm not political. In God I trust. Okay, I don't tell people what to do. Marianne knows that. I don't. My kids at school. I don't. Nobody. You have your own free will. Okay, this is the end. So I put this in here. Let's see if I can get it.
Up the eyes of everybody that reads it to what is exactly happening in the supernatural realm, and it says Wiles of the Devil 2016, and it's taking place this year. And the main characters in this book are Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton is running for president. And also a guy named Donald Trump is in this book. But the main character, Clark, is a radio host. It's like a Dr. James Dobson, who everyone knows. And he doesn't want to run. He doesn't like politics. But because of the state of our union right now, and we're seeing this happen around us, he decides. He decides to run. And he goes into it late. And you get to see exactly how the devil has planned out these elections. And so, yes, it's a fiction book, but guys, this is reality. This is exactly what he has planned. It starts out with the 2004 Democratic Convention in Boston, and an unknown man steps up on the stage for the first time as the keynote speaker. His name is Barack Obama. It shows exactly what's happening behind the scenes when you listen to all these news reports and you...
Father... thank you that we sat here today, watched that demonstration. Father, all that information came from your word, and we live in such a time as this. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are our Father and that we are part of your heavenly realm. And Father, even though we walk by faith, we don't see these things happening all the time. We know they're there. We know, Father, that we are here for such a time as this, that the children in this room are going back to school as I go back to school. And we know the truth. We know the truth. Father, let them be witnesses to their friends, all of them. Give them, Father, now that they know, the children here, let them, again, have no fear like that little bird that got covered up by the wave and saw the ocean, that saw a new realm and had no fear. Give them no fear. And the people that are here, the adults, no fear. Open up opportunity for them to share your word with their relatives first and with all the people around them. Father, thank you that this church has been going on for a long time. Pastor Barbara has been faithful. I don't know any other pastor all these years who have been faithful. Keep her and Larry, Father, blessed, both financially and in health. Father, I thank you for the opportunity of coming here today. Thank you for all of our blessings. And Father, as we leave here today, again, this is, you've directed our path. Father, that everybody here, you have them in your family. You have a mission for them. Let them know that. They come up front. They get prayed over, Father. Thank you if there's anybody that needs healing today, that they know the verse. A lot of churches don't hear it, but they know that by Jesus' stripes, they've already been healed. We thank you, Father, that the people out there that have come here today for a healing, like my wife, we stand on those verses. By Jesus' stripes, she's healed. I'll tell you all a story to close with, folks. We had a pastor stay with us for 4 days with his wife. I found this when he got home. They're from Texas. Listen to this. They got home. They got into their car. They drove back to their home, and he passed out driving. His car was totaled. They were bruised, but basically unhurt. They rushed him to the hospital. They took his blood sugar. It was 38. He's never had. He's always had high blood pressure, sugar. It was 38. The next day, woke up incoherent. The paramedics came, took him to the hospital. He's talking nonsense. They took his blood. His blood sugar was 40. Here's what happened. Here's the good news. He told me this. While he was at my house, they were watching the 700 Club. And whoever was on there said, does anybody need prayer? And, you know, he said, yeah. He said, well, we're going to pray for people with diabetes. He said, that's what I have. They almost cut his foot off last year. I prayed over him. Marianne and I and Pastor Phil and his wife were supposed to meet in Florida, and they couldn't go. He was in the hospital, and they were going to cut his foot off, his left foot. And I prayed in agreement with him that that foot would stay on, and it did. And he walked in with a whole foot. Well, here's what happened. He took his blood, his sugar the next day after the hospital. It was normal without any medication, all the medications he took. I told him, take it every day. If by Monday it's normal, I'm calling the 700 Club. See, they agreed in prayer. His sugar, after all these years, came back to normal. We're going to stand on that. All those things we're praying about, the shoulder and all these things, yes, God gives us wisdom. I mean, you keep on doing what you're doing, keep on getting what you're going to get. You keep on eating rotten food, you're going to get what you're going to get, okay? Americans are they just said, 20 pounds heavier now than they were back in 2010. How'd that happen? Devil's food, sugar, sugar, starch, sugar. Guess what I didn't a year and a half ago? I gave up. I don't eat any starch or sugar. Alan ate a hot dog yesterday. He had a nice bun. I mean, he could eat it. He's fine. His body can do it. Mine can't. I lost 55 pounds. My blood pressure is normal. I used to be on blood pressure medication. It was 122 over 60. I said, whose body is that? Guys, keep doing what you're doing. The devil knows that. Keep getting what you're getting. He knows that. You've seen that. You remember that cell phone thing? If you didn't know that happens, I just learned about that recently. That's mankind doing that stuff and tracking you. Just think what the demons are signed to do, and they know everything about you. Okay? That's what's in my books. It exposes all that. So I'm going to close right now. And again, what an honor it was. And thank you, Pastor Barbara, for having me share that. And that box right down there, Pastor Barbara, that's for your church. So, you know, anybody can fit into those are yours, okay? So thank you guys for the honor. I'm going to turn this to Pastor Barbara. And now I'll tell you another story. My wife and I came here. She does this stuff because that's how it's supposed to be. We never did this before. She said, "Will you and your wife come up and pray over people?" This is my wife, Cindy. Cindy was so bashful. There were people healed there. I said, "Really? They were healed?" Okay. Guys, you can do the same thing. But right now, I want all of you that have come today that have a need, whatever that is, come on forward and we're going to pray in agreement that need is met. Okay?